The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Thank you, Marcus, for that. Look at Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10 again, where it says, the latter portion, lift up a, what's it say? Lift up a, talk to me again, lift up a, talk to me again, lift up a, it says, for the people. I want to speak tonight on seek and keep your standards. Seek and keep your standards. I want us to see something in the Bible, Numbers chapter 2 and in verse 3, where the Bible talks about how these were the tribes of Israel. They were divided up according to their camps. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 2, verse 3, and on the east side toward the rising of the sun, it says, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch, it says, toward their armies. And so here you'll see that what they did is they pitched a standard on the east side of the rising sun. Numbers chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, and on the south side shall the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. Okay, so here was Reuben, and he pitched up a standard on the south side. Numbers chapter 2 and in verse 18, the Bible says, on the west side, it says, shall the standard of Ephraim according to their armies. So on the west side, there was a standard that was set up. Numbers chapter 2 and in verse 25, the Bible says, the standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. All right, so you see there's a standard on the east side, the south side, the west side, and the north side. In the Bible, the word standard was a flag that was raised, a banner that was flown, and what it was a rallying point. The standard was the central location where the armies would gather before they would go into war, and it was according to their number that they would stand by the standard. It was a representation. It was who they were, what they believed, the purpose they were ready to fight for, the direction in which they were ready to live for and to die for. Now, may I say, I'll tell you what, let me get a couple of guys. Matthew, why don't you come? Get one of these flags right up here out of the front seat of the choir. Just kind of stand right over here. Anthony, why don't you come? Get the other flag, if you will, if you don't mind. Doesn't matter what color you get. Just pick yours since you're the first one up. Okay? And just stand right here with the other flag. Now, may I say about a standard, everybody has standards. Everybody does. Okay, you go down to Burger King, there's standards. You go to McDonald's, there are standards. You go to any type of workplace that you want to go, there is an expectancy. There is what we call there's a code, if you would please, that they expect you to abide by. It's the company standards. It's the codes or the code of standard, the code of activity, the code of performance, the code, if you would please, that they expect you to abide by in order to be able to functionally work and to stay employed at their company. All right, so you see that everybody has standards, okay? A standard is that which shows who you are, all right? There's the standards, if you would please, that the rock and roll crowd has. They have a standard that they've set, and here's what they've said. In order to be identified as a rock and roll performer, musician, you have to meet this standard. The country music crowd has that. They have a flag they fly, and they say in order for your song, your album, your performance to be recognized as being branded country music, you have to meet this standard. Recently, the homosexuals has come out more so of the closet than ever before. Matter of fact, Brother Ray, 2 weeks before he came to preach at the youth conference, he said, man, I was going into Burger King. And while in Burger King, they have a Whopper down there and they're celebrating a gay rights month, and the Whopper was wrapped in different rainbow colors and stuff like that. And he said, you want me to bring you a Whopper from California? And I said, no, you can have the Whopper. Okay. But the homosexuals have a standard. There's an immodesty standard that people are more apt to follow, doing that which is the summer times than in other times. There's a standard. The liquor crowd has a standard. You have to meet so much of that which is the chemicals that goes into a liquor in order to qualify and be accepted by the liquor crowd. That's a standard. The drug crowd has their standard. The casino crowd has their standard. And by the way, may I say, the Christians have their standards, okay? They get theirs from a book, a manual that says you've got to do this, whether it's in the liquor crowd, whether it's in the rock culture, whether it's in the country music culture. They have a manual they go by. It's got to meet this standard, if you will, in that given industry in order to be able to be accepted as that which is peak performance. Now, I say tonight, you also have a book that you're supposed to go by. It's called the Bible, all right? And God has given us a Bible, and inside of that Bible, God lays down standards that we're supposed to abide by. Now, we have to understand that. And so, you say, well, I tell you what, that is man's opinion. No, if it's found in the Bible, it is not man's opinion. It is called God's Word. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and it goes on about reproof, etc., etc. So your Bible gives you doctrine. Your Bible gives you truth. Doctrine is what we build our lives upon. Doctrine is what we trust. Doctrine is not supposed to be compromised. Doctrine is not supposed to be dipped. Doctrine is not supposed to be believed one day, forsaken the next. Bible doctrine is not supposed to change. Bible doctrine is where you get your convictions from. You ought to be able to take your Bible and say, this is why I perform at this standard, because it is found in the holy pages of God's Word. You're not supposed to live your life according to a man's, if you would please, opinion. You ought to be able to take it back to the Bible, be a Bible believer, and practice the Bible, all right? And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to show you some standards that you ought to seek and keep in your life. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 2, the Bible says, it says, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish, listen to what it says, and conceal not. So God says, not only are you supposed to believe a standard, you're supposed to publish it. Don't be ashamed of it. You're supposed to stand up for it. You're not supposed to change it. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 12, the Bible says, set up a standard upon the walls of Babylon. So here's the Israelites, if you would please, upon the walls of Babylon, the walls of the enemy, if you will. There's supposed to be a standard that is set up. It says, and make the watch strong and set up the watchmen. It says, prepare for ambushes. All right, so you know this to be true. Whenever you have a standard, those that are opponents of Christ, those, if you would please, that do not follow the ways of the Bible, those that do not believe Scripture, they're going to be people that it makes them mad. Now, wait a minute. Not only that, we're not talking about just the unsaved people that get mad about Christian standards. By the way, I've said this often, that in America, we have an antichrist type of a drive or force that you see more today than any other day. Taking prayer out of the public schools is an antichrist movement. Taking the Bible out of the public school is an anti-Christ movement. All right, you're going to see the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, you're going to see more anti-Christ movements than ever before. Okay, don't let that scare you. That's reality. That's the way it's going. But for you and I, we ought not to drop our standards. We ought to decide that we're going to raise the flag high. We're going to be proud of it. Hey, if people that work at Burger King are proud of where they work and they wear their standard to show people that they're proud, if people that work at McDonald's, people that work at Walmart, people that work at different type of educational facilities, if they're proud of their standards and they raise them high because that's what the company expects, then I tell you something tonight, you ought to be proud of your God, you ought to be proud of your Bible, you ought to be proud of your truth enough not to be the coward and lay down your standard. Let me give you some things tonight. Fellas, take those flags. I'll use you in a little bit again. Just disappear to your seat. Statement number one, Bible standards are not legalism. Bible standards are not legalism. Whenever somebody comes up to you and they say that's legalism, they're showing their ignorance of what legalism is. They've not done their research. They're speaking purely out of the ignorance of their hearts and their minds. When it talks about legalism in the Bible, legalism is always the doctrine of salvation associated with good works, or the doctrine of salvation by good works. That's all legalism is. Legalism has nothing to do with a Bible standard, has nothing to do with a belief system. It's always dealing with a work salvation when you deal with legalism. Now, I don't know of any fundamental Bible-believing preacher that's a legalist. Did you get what I said? I don't know of any fundamental, independent, Baptist, Bible-believing preacher that's a legalist. All of them believe that you get saved by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. They are not practicing legalism. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, for the doctrines, it says, listen to it now, for doctrines, it says, the commandments of men. All right, so here's some people that turn their own commandments into that which is a doctrine. Okay, the Bible says the letter of the law killeth, but the Bible says the Spirit giveth. So the subject matter is that which is the law, all right? And so it's how you view the law. Do you view the law, if you would please, the letter of the law? What does that produce? Death. Death. But what if you view the law differently? What if you view the Bible differently? If you view it through the Spirit, you think about Spirit. You think about somebody who goes to a ball game and they're not just watching it for the rules' sake. Here's what they're doing. They're watching it for the Spirit's sake. They're not walking in and saying, I'm going to see if the referee obeys the rules of basketball. I'm going to see if the coach obeys the rules of basketball. I'm going to take down everything he says, everything he does. I'm going to compare it to the rule book to see if he's right. Okay, the letter of the law, they're not going to enjoy the ball game. Why? Because they're not paying attention to what's going on. They're going to take notes to try to take the referee or the coach to court. By the way, how do you come to church? You can come to church and say, well, I'm going to write down everything I disagree with about the pastor. I'm going to write down everything I disagree about the direction of the church. The letter of the law killeth every single time. But if you come to church and you say, here's what I'm going to do, man, I'm excited somebody got saved. I'm excited somebody got baptized. I'm excited. If you do that, what happens is this, you view it differently. Hey, my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right? And so when you come to church, hey, let your spirit be that which is spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Don't come to church looking like you're always looking for what's wrong with it. Hey, draw a circle around yourself. Do a self-evaluation. Let God speak to your heart. Stop being somebody that's always judging everybody else because you don't think that they're as good as you are. Your underarm still stinks. Wait a minute, watch this. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. So how do I know what standard is right? What standard is wrong? What standard is too much? What standard is too little? How do I know? What do I judge it by? That's pretty easy, you know. Because we have a Bible. So we always go back to the Bible. One preacher said this when, and he believed in compromise. He believed in, if you would please, that the consequences of sin are just going to take place. And so he wrote this. He said, an alternative to legalism.
Here's what he wrote. Legalism is dangerous to personal Christianity, so much so we need to examine our system of values, which is harmful and does not work. Well, first off, he's confused on what legalism is. He is looking at legalism as a lifestyle practiced by a living. No, legalism is a person that believes you get to heaven by good works. Now, I agree with him on this. It is harmful. But I also agree with him on this, if you will, is the fact that, yes, it is harmful, but we do need standards. We do need regulations. We do need that which is guidelines for our members, and that is not legalism. You have to have rules. You have to have standards, if you will. Take the Christian school. Let's wipe out all the standards and we say, look, you can take and say anything you want to. You can listen to any music you want to. You can dress the way you want, walk the way you want. And can I tell you, we're going to wind up with a non-Christian school. You know, homes that have no rules, no guidelines, here's what they do. They produce the next generation of hippies, the next generation of perverts, the next generation of sassy, rebellious people. There's got to be. Here's what Jesus said in John 14 in verse 21. Jesus said this. He says, he hath my commandments and keepeth them. He is that loveth me. He is that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I love him and will manifest myself in him. So here's what he said. He said, there is some commandments. Now, we think about commandments and we say, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the Ten Commandments of Moses. No, there's more than just the Ten Commandments of Moses. Let me read you some. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. That's a commandment. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. That's a commandment. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is a commandment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, says upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. That's a commandment. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is a commandment. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a commandment. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. That is a commandment. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. That's a commandment. And by the way, all those commandments I just read, you look at them and say, ah, that's easy. I can do those. Okay, let me read you some other ones that's a little bit harder. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. A little bit harder to obey. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, flee fornication. A little bit harder to obey. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. A little bit harder to obey. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, only let your conversation be to becometh the gospel of Christ. Harder to obey. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, be ye followers of me, mark them which walk so as have us an example. A little bit harder to obey. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. A little bit harder to obey. So statement number one, Bible standards are not legalism. Statement number two, Bible standards are to be learned. We're supposed to learn them. Here's what it says. Listen to it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Romans, as you studied in your Sunday school, Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 11 speaks of nothing but doctrine. Teaches doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Romans chapter 12 through Romans chapter 16 says, now that you've learned the doctrine, here's how I expect you to obey it. So here's what he's saying in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now that you have learned all this doctrine, Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 11, here's the way I expect you to obey it, starting in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1. And how great a way to start other than, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He said, now that you know these things, now therefore I beseech you. Now therefore I tell you, since you know these things, I tell you now how you're supposed to obey these things. All right? And so he says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, while you're alive, give yourself sacrificially. Sacrificially. You do it for a ball game. You do it for a job. Hey, here's a new rim. Do it for God. How much are you sacrificing for God? How much are you putting God first in your life? How much does the children see God first in your family? How much do the children see you putting God first in everything? He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, wait a minute. So that means that young people need instruction. Young converts need instruction. We're going to have to explain why we do what we do. You know, the biggest failure that I see in the Christian educational movement is the fact that we have a bunch of kids that graduate from Christian educational systems, whether it's homeschool, whether it's a Christian school, or sad to say, a Christian college. And they graduate, and while they're in the college, while they're in the academy, they obey the rule because it's the rule. And then when they I'm talking about Christian homes. And they don't read their Bible. They don't pray. And then when they get out from underneath the umbrella of mom and dad, principal, or president of a college, they go about and they do their own thing. Now, why is it? Because they learn the rule. They never develop the relationship. They never walked in the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They have no conviction whatsoever. And they say, well, I did it because I had to. Why don't you do something because you love God? Why don't you develop a relationship? I don't get it in the Christian life nowadays. Here's what we do. Well, I'm just doing that because mom made me. Hey, I've got news for you. Hey, headlines for you. Why don't you do it because you love God? Why don't you decide you're going to flee some things? Why don't you decide you're going to run to some things? Simply because you've got a love for God. You're not going to burn in hell. You'll enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I just don't agree that that is a rule that my parents make me obey. Might it be something that God says you're supposed to obey? Might it go farther than your parents? Might it be that your parents are trying to get you to obey it because they know it's from the Bible? Might it be that your parents are just simply trying to be good Christians? Hey, stop putting it all on your parents. Now, parents, I want to help you a little bit. Why don't you know your Bible so well that when your child has a question, that you're able to come to your child with truth and say, this is why we do what we do. Now, I'm telling you, a lot of people graduate from Christian institutions and come up in Christian homes. They have the foggiest idea why they believe what they believe. Well, I do that because I heard a preacher say it. Well, God bless your little heart. You need more than that. You need a Bible. Because one day the preacher's going to be dead. What are you going to do then? You know, you ought to be able to go back. You know, the biggest fallacies I see is the fact of the matter that we have people that obey the rule, and I'm for it. Hey, you live at home, obey your mama. You live at home, obey your daddy. You come to the Christian school, obey your principal. You come to the Bible college, obey your president. That is right. You're supposed to obey those that have the rule over you. Well, I don't agree with them. Sorry. When you went to work at McDonald's, you agreed. And you wear their little shirt whether you want to or not. Go ahead and show up to Walmart and wear a Kmart shirt. See if a manager doesn't come down the aisle and said, wrong. Come on. When I go to Thailand, here's what I do. Before I go into the house, sometimes it doesn't even make any sense, but we do it anyway. You have dirt on the outside, dirt on the inside. But they don't want the dirt on the outside coming to the dirt on the inside. So what do? You take your shoes off. Because they don't want the outside dirt coming on the inside. Hello? First time I ever went and preached for Brother John Hong, man, I walked in. Soon as you walk in, they have a shoe rack. Everybody takes their shoes off. Hello? I preached so hard, I preached them out of their shoes. Not really, they took them off before I preached. But now, wait a minute, watch this. I'm saying that young people need instruction. Now, when the Bible says, be not conformed, that's talking about being not conformed to a system. There is a world system that you're not supposed to be conformed to. Watch what your Bible says. And be not conformed to what? Be not conformed to this what? Talk to me. This. Talk to me. This. There's a world system that you're not supposed to be a part of. Why do you let Hollywood set the way you dress? That's a world system. Why do you let the rock and roll drug heads set the way that you act? That's a world system. Now God says, be not conformed to this world. By the way, you show me how you dress and I can identify normally who you're trying to copy. You're trying to copy somebody who's trying to sell themselves. I tell girls all the time, they say, well, I like the shorter skirts. Why? What are you trying to advertise? Well, preacher, I like the real tight clothing. Why? If it's not for sale, take the for sale sign down. Well, preacher, I'm 14 and I need all the makeup on I can get. Is your face that messed up? Does it need that much help? Or are you doing it to draw a boy? Look, I'm saying tonight, be not conformed to this world. The world does have its own fashions. The world does. Look, now, look, I love you ladies. God bless you. But you get these skirts on and you're wearing them up to here. And when you sit down, you're showing your thigh and God says you're showing your neck and his. Why you want to do that? Aren't you satisfied with your husband? Why are you trying to get somebody else's husband to look at you? If you know I love you, raise your hand. All right, so why are you trying to get somebody else's husband to look at you? Why are you doing that? Why are you girls wearing shirts that are so tight that a boy can see every conformity of the way that God made you? There's nothing left to the imagination now. I mean, when they see you, they see every curve about you. Why? What are you trying to do? Do you realize what eyes you're drawing and the eyes that you're drawing? That's what you're going to get. And by the way, if that's why he's after you, one day when you get fat, when all of a sudden now you look like a bubble that's out of control, can I tell you he's going to chase somebody else? Do you understand if that's what, hey, you know what you're doing? You're putting bait. Why are you putting bait? Why in the world are you doing that? You know, and then you walk and you got these tight things on and you, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You know, and you think, wow, hope somebody get, you're going to cause somebody to wreck. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen to me. Be not conformed. Talking about a world system. It's talking about your actions, talking about your language, talking about your dress, among other things. How in the world can we preach against fornication if we do not hit pornography? How in the world can we preach against fornication if we do not hit the vulgar television programs? How in the world can we preach against that which is fornication if we don't hit the dirty, rotten music of the day? How in the world can we be able to cause you to think right, have the right communication in your mouth if we don't take and put down some rules and saying you don't talk that way. The book of Philippians chapter 3, listen to it, verses 17 through 19. The Bible says, even weeping to tell them. Here's what he says. That some of the, and he's talking about this, he's talking about enemies of the cross of Christ. Then he says this, who mine earthly things. Now God says, if you mine earthly things, you're an enemy of the cross. You're an enemy of Christ. Oh, but preacher, not every church believes that. I feel sorry for them. Well, you know, preacher, it's nothing wrong with dressing earthly and dressing to the conformity of the world. Oh, no, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, here's another command. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So the more I draw to Christ, the more holier I want to become. Come on. The more that holiness is in me, the more holiness comes out of me. Well, I see nothing wrong with the things I post on an Instagram, or I see nothing wrong with the things that I do. Hey, wait a minute. What does others see? Brother Leader watched this and watched this for 2 years, listened to the sermons for 2 years, and then he decided, I'll trust him a little bit with my young people. Can I say, somebody is watching you? Man, they're watching what you do. They're watching and listening to what you say. Be careful. That's why the Bible says, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from it. Don't go near it. It's funny, when the Beatles came from England and they came over here with their effeminate hairdo, their mopped heads of haircuts, the preachers that knew the Bible stood up and with fire, they warned. When Elvis Presley began to get out there and he began to twist his pelvis and go back and forth, Elvis the pelvis, and went back and forth, there was preachers that stood up and they cried aloud and they said, don't follow it! And now we've got Christians that listen to the contemporary Christian rock music that's worse than what you heard back in those days. And yet, because it has the name Christian in front of it, you think it's okay. He says to abstain from the appearance of evil. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, listen to it now. Why do preachers hesitate to preach on this? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now that's in your Bible. I did not make it up. He said, if a man has long hair, he said, nature teaches you. What does nature teach you? It don't grow out here. That is not natural. God has given you a God, nature, natural hairline. He said, you can learn just by paying attention to nature. Naturally, hair does not grow out the ears at the rate. Now, sometimes it does. Every time I go to the barber, my wife will say, get him to trim your old man hairs. Went to the barber the other day, and I forgot. And so my wife, I keep a razor, one of these electric jobs over in that bathroom I built. I forgot. So my wife was coming into the office, and I said, honey, do me a favor. Go in there and get that electric razor and get my old man hairs out of there. You know, I wonder how long they would grow if I left them grow. Now, I'm not going to. That would probably be disgusting. I'll get Brother Sweatman to do it so we all can watch. But I wonder if we just kind of let them grow, Brother Sweatman, how long they would grow. Do you want to find out? Would you do it? Mrs. Sweatman said, okay. Okay, forget that. Now, watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand that God teaches according to nature. So God says there's some things that we can learn according to nature. In other words, we can look at the man. Oh, well, okay, let me give you this. The Bible talks about over in the book of Isaiah. I won't take time to turn to it. You can write it down, read it for yourself. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 through 3. The Bible talks about when a woman shows her thigh, she reveals her nakedness. Hello? Can I submit to you something too? When the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and in verse 5, and by the way, that is a moral law that never disappears. It's not a cultural law. It's a moral law. Doesn't go away. But when the Bible says that man and woman ought not dress the same way, and it's talking about that when a woman takes a step towards dressing like a man, it's an abomination. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will, please. Listen to me very carefully. Don't get mad at me yet. I'm not done. Wait till I'm done, and then get mad at me. It's talking about taking a step in that direction. We miss that sometimes. When the Bible says over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 47, that when a woman reveals her thigh, she reveals her nakedness. Then over in, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says that a woman's supposed to adorn herself in modest apparel. The word apparel is a little Greek word. It means catch a stole. It's where we get the mink stole. It's a long, veiling, flowing garment. So now we know several things. First off, the woman's not supposed to take a step to look like a man in apparel. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 through 3, it says she's not supposed to reveal her thigh. The Bible says that over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's verse 19, where it talks about that it is supposed to be, uses the word apparel, catch a stole. So it's a veiling garment. Now don't get mad at me yet. Please don't get mad at me yet. But here's what that means. That means that pants is out. Do your Bible study. Shorts is out. Well, I'm not coming back. But I got you right now. Stay. So I don't believe it. You know, it takes time to grow into stuff. You know that. Look, here's what you do. Here's what you do. I'm going to go to a church where I believe 100%. No, you need to go to a church that's stronger than you presently are to help you grow. And if you're doing things in your life that's not right, then I'm telling you, you need to plug in here. Because you have not grown enough yet. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God, hey, God says, stand up, hold it. Stand up and hold it. Here we go. God says, hey, I got some standards. World says, I've got some standards. Now, can I tell you, in your life, you're either walking that way or you're walking that way. You cannot be walking both ways at the same time. You can't do it. Either you're getting closer to God or you're getting closer to this world system. And can I tell you, you ought to take your Bible, open your Bible, read your Bible, walk closer to God. Why? Because walking closer to God is how God is going to help you. Yeah, you got a bunch of friends and they think that here's what they think. They think dressing like the world is cool. Now I'm dizzy. That didn't work, Brother Steph. I'm going to try it when I get home. No, I'm going to try it for real. I'm going to do it. But they think, man, here's what I need to do. I need to chill out. Now, can I tell you, do a check on yourself. Do a check on yourself. If you have a desire to be closer here than over there, duh. Doesn't that tell you how spiritual you are? Well, you know, I just want to hang around the rock and roll crew. Yeah, baby, come on, get down. You hang around, you'll draw guys just like that. Why do you want to hang around the non-soul? Look, here's what you do. Birds of a feather flock to get. I didn't know you knew your Bible so well. So you got the girls that are dressing more sensual. They're wanting to get away with more. Can I tell you, don't do the duh. You're smarter than that. Don't do that. Well, you know, I just want to be like so-and-so because look how much she's drawing attention to herself. She should not be drawing attention to herself. She should be drawing attention to God that lives inside of her. If a girl is always dressing up to draw more attention to herself, that is sensual, that is fleshly, and she's going to draw exactly what she's dressing like, and before you know, hey, come on, wake up. I'm saying tonight, get close to God. Walk close to God. Pick your Bible up. Read your Bible. Get some Bible convictions. You be more modest than less modest. You brag on God. What God is doing in your life, not the world. That's why I said if you're a true fundamentalist, you're not going to fit in Southern Baptist Church. Come on. I'm going to tell you why. You know too much. You're going to go to some church and the guy's going to preach this washed, watered down junk. He's afraid to mention anything because after all, if he does, the people might get mad. Hey, look, we've had people join our church and leave. Have we? We had people that used to be here that left. Hello? But look at the crowd that's coming now compared to the crowd that was coming before I came. Chase your numbers, please. Somebody wants to hear it. Somebody wants to obey it. Hey, what I'm saying tonight, raise the banner high. Don't be somebody that lays it down. You decide tonight. Bible standards are not legalism. Bible standards need to be learned. Bible standards are those standards that God has placed in your life. By the way, I would rather be in a church. Now listen to me. Thank you. Be seated. I'd rather be in a church that will help me and stretch me. Okay, watch this. Brother Crutcher, bring me the chair right here. Do you mind? That chair, just put it right here. You do that for me? Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. I had to pick the oldest man on staff. I'm so sorry. Brother Crutcher got up during the youth conference, stood to my left, did the burping contest. Thank you, sir. His wife was up there sitting beside my wife in the balcony. And his wife commented to my wife, I can't believe he's doing that. Who you hang around does influence you. But how about if we come to church and just chill? Be easier on the preacher. Come on, man. Let's just chill. Come to church and say, oh, tonight we're going to have a Bible study. Let's open our Bibles. Doesn't matter which one you have. You have an NIV, it's on page 942. You have an ASV, it's on page 842. You have an RSV, it's on page 862. Yeah, I have a King James. You know, it's on page 777. It doesn't matter. Man, you just open it. Follow along the best you can. It's all the Word of God. How is that true? Use your noggin. Think a little bit. When he says the Word of God is perfect, and forever thy Word is settled in. Well, how can this be perfect? And this be perfect if this is saying something totally different than this? Somebody's confused somewhere. Look, here's what some of you need to do. Can I tell you something? You people are just kind of like, well, I just don't know what to do. I'd hate to have you on my ball team. You know what? I want somebody on my ball team that's not somebody that, well, you know,
I just don't know if I'm going to give it my all or not. Because I don't even know if I believe that. I don't believe in her team. I don't believe that her team might win. So, you know, why give it my best? I mean, we might lose anyway. Oh, somebody needs to kick you in the rear. What are you talking about? Hey, when you're on God's team, aren't you on the winning side anyway? I don't get it. Why be somebody that's half in and half out? Well, you know, I think I'm going to come to church when it feels good. Hey, under preaching like this, it may never feel good. But listen, I'm saying that there has to be some people that stand up and some people that say, I'm going to have some Bible standards and I'm going to learn some Bible standards. There's got to be that. Hey, by the way, when they had standards in the public school, it was standards like this. No running in the hallway. No chewing gum in class. Hey, this is back in my day. When you walked down, when I was in elementary school, you had to walk in a single line. You had to do all sorts of, there was rules. When they dropped, when they dumped the rules. Now, in many public school hallways, you hear about rape. You hear about drugs that's being pushed on campus. You hear about drunken parties that the kids are going to and they're trying to sneak it in the school. There's even been a lot of murders in public schools nowadays. Maybe we ought to go back to the rules. Statement number one, Bible standards are not legalism. Statement number two, Bible standards are to be learned. Statement number three, Bible standards are not to be lax. Vance Havner said this. He said this. He said, when it becomes dirty gray, the black sheep feel more comfortable. When it becomes dirty gray, the black sheep. There was a guy, he thought he'd be smart, Civil War. He kept the Yankee trousers and he put on a rebel jacket. He said, I'll be safe. He ran between the lines, got shot by both. Person says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to walk down the center of the highway. You're going to get hit from both sides. You're either walking one way or the other way. You're either raising the Bible standard or lessening the Bible standard. And by the way, don't use the excuse of, well, we got a new auditorium. And so auditorium's not Bible doctrine. What you're doing is also not Bible doctrine. Well, you know, I think I'm going to compromise because now we have lights. I think I'm going to compromise because now there's a piece of carpet laying on the platform. Brother Wislaski, would you stop, please? And I love to get people with cynical around Brother Wislaski because they won't win. Bible standards are not legalism. Bible standards are to be learned. Bible standards are not supposed to be lax. Let me give you one last one and I'm done. Bible standards are supposed to be loved and obeyed. Here's what it says. I'm done. I'm going to read you some scripture. Paul cried. He said, we preach. And it's talking about warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. He said, we cried. Listen to it. Jeremiah said this. Jeremiah said, them, it says, from their evil way. Listen to what it says. And from, it says, the evil of their doings. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible talks about you're supposed to know them that have the rule over you. I'm saying that all throughout the Bible, here's what you see. You see that God is interested in Bible standards. John L. Rice wrote a booklet many years ago. It was entitled, Why Preach Against Sin? In that book, here's what he said. Why preach against sin? Number one, because it helps you to make up your mind that you will obey the Bible too. You listen to me, young preacher? Why preach against sin? Because it's going to help you make up your mind what you believe too.
It's going to be hard for you to get up in one of our Sunday school classes or one of our preaching stations on a Sunday morning and rebel out and preach hot against sin if you're doing it. If you're doing it. Helps you to obey the Bible too. Statement number two. You remember that you're obligated under God to put up a warning sign. Are you listening to me? Where there's a bridge out. You're reminded, hey, I've got to put up bridges out, bridges out, bridges out. Come on. Come on. Loose living will produce a lousy lifestyle. It will. When you say, boy, I tell you what, I'm willing to hold any guy's hand. Oh, no, I'm just willing to hold one. It won't stop there. Boy, if that boy would hold my hand, I'd feel privileged. Don't. Don't. You don't have a right to do that until your dad gives you away at marriage. Period. And by the way, if she wants to hold your hand, don't feel so special. She's wanting to hold every other guy's hand too. You're not special. If she's willing to give herself to you, I promise you she'll give herself to every other boy. She's looking for the thrill. That's all she's looking for, the thrill. All she's wanting is some boy to get close to her, to make her feel special, and here's what's on his mind. I'm going to get from her everything I can get from her, then I'll waste her and walk away from her. Get it in your head. Love always gives, lust always takes. True love always waits to the proper time. Lust always wants it now. Lust is always, give me, give me. Hey, let me hold your hand. I think you're so beautiful. If you think that she's so beautiful, then why don't you demonstrate good Christian manhood and character and wait? Why don't you do that? How many girls have wound up pregnant because some guy couldn't contain himself and fooled her into the point, into the place, thinking that she was special? He's going to go do any girl that he wants to go and do, and it's just happened that you're the one that gave to meet his need. Get smart. Get smart. By the way, why is he drawn to you anyway? What have you done to entice him? Hey, I'm talking to fundamental kids. What have you done? What type of boy are you drawing? By the way, if the boy wants to go to bed with you as a teenage girl, a college girl, can I tell you, he's the wrong boy. I hope his head gets run over with a watermelon truck. Whatever happened to the Bible where it says, keep thyself pure! Boy comes over to you and says, I'd like to get some sugar. Close your eyes, buster. I'll give you some sugar. Hey, by the way, call me. I'll give him sugar. Look, you go ahead and you hurt one of our girls. I love you. I love you. But I'm coming after you. I promise you. I'll get some of my deacons. We're going to show up and we're going to love you in Jesus' name. There's enough. You go after my girl. Go after my girl. I'm a preacher. I love God. Hello. I do love God. I am a preacher. But you try and steal my girl's virginity, I'll take a baseball bat to your head. Oh, preacher, you wouldn't do that. Well, I'll get right with God. Say, oh, yeah, you're supposed to be righteous and holy. I am. And I'm going to try my best to make you righteous and holy too. Hey, look, you break in my house, you try and hurt my precious wife. I love my wife. I don't want any other woman. Woo! We've been married 30 years. In August, we're flying to California. I'm preaching for Dr. Ray, and
preaching in his church. I'm going to Brother Treber's. I love my wife. I don't want to take anybody else on my vacation. Can I tell you? Oh, it bothers me. I don't know why I'm going this way. I have no idea. Have nobody in mind. But there's a Holy Ghost. I can't pinpoint it. I have no idea what's flowing. But can I tell you, if a boy is after you and he's wanting to spend time with you alone, and he says, I'll come by your house and pick you up, we'll go places together. Boy, girl, you better get some sense in your head. He is up to no good. No good. Parents, you listen to me. If you got a girl, all right, come on. If you're a teenage girl, stand up. Teenage girl, stand up. Teenage girl, stand up. You listen to me. Number one, teenage girl, you listen to me. You ought not to be interested in any boys right now. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you're interested in a boy, get the boy out of your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand me? Is it sinking in? Do you hear me? Back there in no man's land. Do you understand me? Do you understand me, you young girls? Do you understand me? Do you get it? Have you got it, Purvis? Do you understand it? A girl comes to you, and a girl says, there's a boy that likes you. What do you do? Here's what you do. You tell him to jump off of a cliff. Don't give him a parachute. Sarah, make sure it's the largest cliff you can find. Delaney! No, yet not even in Israel. Sit down. Teenage boy, stand up. You have got about as much sense in your head as I've got in my finger. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Where's your tie? Oh, a barong. Okay, it's a barong. I knew that. I've been to the Philippines. Leave the girls alone. Well, you know, I'm handsome. You're the only one that's convinced. Love God. Read your Bible. Pray. Walk with God. Shout amen when the preacher's preaching.
Come on.
Leave them alone. Get on a bus route. Obey your mama. Sit down. College boys, stand up. If she's in the teen department, stay away.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
When a girl comes to the college, consider her. Before then, off limits. You got it?
Yes, sir.
You understand that? Amen. Do you get that? Amen. Do you understand that? You got it? Amen. You're visiting. Yes, don't steal our cross! Yes, you got it? You guys got it back there? You got it? Kyle, you awake? red-haired boy. You got it? You're engaged. You only need one. She told me to tell you that. I'm kidding. You understand? You got it? Tallest guy in the house. You got Usher. Yeah, got it. Sit down. Keep yourself pure. Come on. There's enough kids in our church that has messed up morally that we all should learn from it, and we all should go forward and decide that ain't happening again. I'm tired of marrying kids in my office because they didn't have the character to stay straight. I'm just tired of it. Well, you know, if I mess up, preacher will marry me in the office. It's no big deal. Right, let me tell you what a big deal it is. Here's what you've done. You just run your testimony. You forfeit the right for your dad to walk you down an aisle. He can no longer give you away because you gave yourself away. Do you understand that? No pictures. No remembrance. You'll always look back and remember, I messed up. I messed up. I messed up. Your kids are going to say, you want me to stay pure till marriage? How about you? Did you? And you're going to have to look them in the face and say, no, honey, I messed up. That gives them another window to make a choice that they should not be made to make a choice in. You can stay pure. You can. Mrs. Wells, we dated for how long? Here, come on. How long? 2 years. Help me. Come here. Come here. You got to help me. So we dated for 2 years. Here we go. I want you to testify. 2 years. 2 years. By the way, do I love you? Do you love me? Are you glad we're married? How many years? 30 years. Wow. We made it for 30. Look at these. These guys are standing up for you. Number one, because you're a lady. Number two, because you're married to me. 30 years, right? 30 years? Do we have a good marriage? Is it neat? Is it fun? Would you want anybody else? Would you want anybody else? Okay. Now, I want to show you something. How many years?
30?
No. Did we date?
Two.
Did I ever kiss you? You speaking the truth or lying because I'm preaching?
Truth.
Oh, wow. Did I ever hold your hand before we got married? No. Where's the first time we kissed?
At the altar.
At the altar. What altar? Was that one night we were praying?
No.
I was slain in the spirit. Oh, marriage altar. Oh, I got it. You mean we made it for 2 years? Didn't you want to hold my hand?
Did you want to hold mine?
Of course.
Okay.
Did you want to kiss me?
Yes.
I wanted to kiss you too. Would have been good.
My dad would have killed you.
I know. She said my dad would kill you. Did I respect you all the way to the altar? Are you glad about that? We had opportunities, didn't we? We had opportunities to hold hands. Yeah. Remember that front room called the courting room? Remember that?
Okay.
Remember your sister always in the courting room when we showed up?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how I wished that she would disappear and I could be a magician and make it happen? But she was always there protecting.
Amen.
By the way, that's by choice. Mom and daddy's choice. You had good parents.
Amen.
That's what parents are supposed to do.
Yes.
Look, your kid messes up, don't blame the preacher. There's a home problem. And there's also a heart problem. Somewhere along the line, you messed up teaching some principles, or they didn't catch it. Are you listening to me? Well, you know, my kid messed up because they didn't get the preaching. No, no.
Amen.
Well, preacher never said something. Oh, no. Youth director never said nothing. Oh, no. Well, they didn't have a Bible. No, they didn't read the Bible, but they had a Bible. Thank you. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's a way. Now, what if you're, I got to quit. Here we go. I'm quitting. Here's a girl tonight. Here's a boy tonight. Here's what they said. Man, I've already messed up. So what's the sense? I'll tell you what the sense is. You make a decision tonight that you don't do it again. You make a decision from this day forward, I'll be pure. By the way, do you love God that much? Or do you love yourself more not to do that? Are you so wrapped up in the flesh that you refuse to make a godly decision? Person sitting here tonight, you say, my marriage isn't what it's supposed to be. Whose fault is that? You make a decision, I'll make it what it's supposed to be. Well, preacher, I'm not the church member I ought to be. It's your fault. Brother May did a good job preaching here. Doctrine hadn't changed. Well, you know, I've made choices. You made choices. Now, you can't blame it. You can't blame it because we have, what do you call that up there? Bannister. You can't blame it on Bannister. Well, the reason that I'm slipping in my standards is because we have a stand. We have a Bannister in the church. Oh. Well, the reason I'm slipping in my standards is because we have a Heritage Cafe for the college. Oh. 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 Well, the reason I'm slipping in my standards, preacher, is because. You can't blame anybody, Bubba, but you.
Amen.
Little sis, you can't blame anybody but you. Stop using excuses for your ungodly life. Come on. You know, I've seen some people that's left this church, and I've watched their standards get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And they did that after they left the church. Here's what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying get yourself some Bible standards. You should be flags up, flags up, flags up. Yeah, you're quick. Okay, notice godliness is always quicker than ungodliness. You should always be getting closer and closer and closer. Come on, I'm 53. I'm going to testify. I'm closer to God, have higher Bible standards. Now, I've always had Bible standards, always, always. You've never seen my wife ever, my daughter ever, in pants, shorts, or anything. We have Bible convictions. We don't do it. Okay? You're not going to find rock and roll in the house, nothing. Yeah, we don't do the mixed bathing stuff, mixed sweat. We don't do that junk. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Okay? But we've always gotten closer and closer and closer to right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. What is wrong with that? Oh, but it might cause me to stay pure. Oh, but it might cause me to be more holy. What would people think? Well, you might remind them of Jesus. I'm sorry. Come on. Okay, watch. BC, I got to close. One more thing. I'm done. Here it is. I got to go. Here, I got to go. I got to leave for a sword conference tomorrow. I got to go. Watch this. I'm done. I'm almost done. Watch this. I've been out preaching around. And when I would see a pastor's wife that dressed ungodly, okay? I look at my wife and go, but I've never seen somebody that dressed godly that somebody went, think on it. Because you see, there is Christianity that people believe you're supposed to be a peculiar people. All of a sudden you find out one of our teenagers is listening to rock music or playing cards or, getting on the internet or, and you think, why are they? Because those things are not becoming to Christian. Going to the casino. Buying a worldly magazine. I'm filthy, dirty. Doing drugs. Hello? Boy and a girl out in the parking lot at night, kissing. There has to be a standard. Amen. Has to be a standard. You set the standard. It's better to have a higher one, stay with me, than a lower one. It's better to have a more godly one than a less godly one. It's better to be closer to God than farther from God. It's better to walk towards the Bible rather than away from the Bible. It's better to be closer to that which is right than closer to that it is wrong. It's better to have more protection than less protection. Just common sense. And everybody has standards. You have to choose where your standard is. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.